right, if you can get your Bibles out tonight.
You know, we sang that song tonight, that joy unspeakable. And verse 2, it said, I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, it said in the song. I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. Many a life, many a effort, many a time has been spent looking for joy, and outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not find it. And in Luke chapter number 24, sorry, I told you to turn there and I did not. We're familiar with the story. Christ is risen. He goes and he walks along the road to Emmaus, right? And he meets with those one Cleopas, and then they're talking, and he then reveals himself, and they're like, "Oh, why didn't we know?" And the story. But I want to draw your attention actually to verse 36, the second half of the chapter. We'll kind of go through a little bit. We're talking about true joy here tonight, joy unspeakable. Like we sang about it, it's in your scriptures, we'll see it. But the Bible says, after he met with those two, he meets up with 10 of the disciples, Thomas not there, and then Judas being gone. In verse 36, this is the resurrected Christ. I want to kind of key your attention in on one little phrase, and then we'll kind of compare that to another phrase. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 36, it says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now, you know, certainly we know that Jesus Christ being the Prince of Peace, right? I mean, you would think, why is he telling this? Look at verse 37. He goes on to describe the scene, if you will, that they're looking for. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Jesus physically all of a sudden appears out of nowhere. I mean, Jesus knows what he's doing. And he reminds them, he says, hey, just settle down, be calm. And the Bible says, again, they were terrified. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, and he shows them, he says, look at my hands. Come here for a second. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, and for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And he says, hey, let me reassure you of who I am. Hey, pay attention to these. You saw how these were made, and look, I'm actually physically here. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. I want to draw your attention to verse 41. And while they yet believed, not for joy, it says, and wondered, he said unto them, have ye any meat? He says, I'm not convincing you well. Hold on a second. He says, what do you got to eat? But I want to draw your attention. They believed, but their belief didn't produce a joy yet. You know, sometimes in our life, maybe we go through the Christian life, and I want to tell you, your doubts about the Lord, about His Word, you know what? You may go through the motions, but you're going to miss out on something. It says they believed, yet they were missing something. They were missing the joy. They were still very affrighted. They were still very skeptical. They had some doubts in their heart. Have you ever lived through Christianity a bit? Experienced some of the highs and lows of life? And there you find yourself, and you seem like you're missing something in your life. The joy. Maybe the problem isn't the circumstance. Maybe it's your doubts. I love how Jesus proves himself. He says this, bring me something to eat. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. See, I'm not a spirit. Do spirits eat? He said, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding. See, that's what was needed. God, help me to understand. It says this, that they might understand the Scriptures. They don't have to understand all the circumstances, just the things that he told us about. And oftentimes we come to the Word of God and we have doubts, and what we should be praying or what we should be careful of is not trying to cause criticism or doubts about what God has done, but God, will you help me to understand these things? Because I'm missing out on something. I'm missing out on joy. He continues. Ever get frustrated? How about that? Ever get frustrated? Yes, absolutely. What causes frustration? Maybe you're trying to explain something to your kids and they're not doing it right. Maybe it's a cooking technique, or maybe it's something with the car or whatever it is, something around the house, and you're trying to explain it and they're just not getting it. Well, that was kind of the circumstance, yet the Lord stuck with it a little bit. How many of you are thankful that the Lord sticks with you even when you don't always understand? Man, I do. I am so thankful that every now and then He just opens our understanding a little bit. Hey, listen, you're not going to get this by yourself. I'm going to fix that. And He opens their understanding. Let's read the rest of the passage. Look at this interaction with the Lord. And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He's giving them kind of what happened. Hey, remember, we talked about this. I explained all these things to you. And you didn't understand then. Now do you understand? And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these. And look at verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. We know what that is. That we'll see that the same author that's continuing the story, Luke, will tell us about that in the book of Acts, right? We see that. I want to pay close attention to these next four verses. And as He led them out as far as to Bethany, He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was departed from them and carried up into heaven. Remember when they first met Him, just about 15 verses ago? The Bible says when He showed up, they were terrified, it said. Affrighted. And suppose that He was a spirit, or what we would say, there's a ghost in the room. And after interacting with the Lord and God revealing who He is and relieving their doubts, now look at their interaction with the Lord. And the Bible says, and it came to pass while He blessed them and departed from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped Him. What a difference. And returned to Jerusalem. Look at these next three words. With great joy. Remember, they believed before, but yet had no joy. Now they're worshiping. Now the doubts have been removed. Now they understand who it is. And you know what? Sometimes in the Christian life, sometimes life can steal our joy. It has no purpose in doing it. God gave us something that actually can remain, even in the most difficult of situations. But here, after understanding a little bit more of who Jesus was, after this, I would say, inspiring interaction, right? I mean, look at where He found them. And in a matter of 15 verses, wow, what a difference. What a difference to go from terrified and affrighted and doubting. They believed, yet no joy. And by the end, they were worshiping with great joy. What changed? Well, just spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ will do that. I like that testimony. 2 years ago, this woman was, well, a little bit different. Cheryl, an addict. And then she came to know the Lord. And now she's going to places where there were people just like her situation, and she's telling about the Lord Jesus Christ. What changed? I just spent some time with Jesus. I've got a joy that I got to share with you. Hey, today I had the blessing of going out for lunch with Brother Helm today. I let him pick the place. We went to the Bergen Diner. Who knew there was a diner in Bergen? Miss Calpe, have you ever been there? You've never been there? You've been there, Stephen? All right, good. Great Reuben. Great Reuben, great fries. Water was marginal. I'd bring people there. I'd say, hey, let's go get in on this. That's exactly kind of what happens. And when you interact with the Lord Jesus Christ and you experience what change he can make, when your path crosses with Christ, hey, before there was no joy. But now when you interact with the Lord, there's worship and great joy. And Jesus just left. How is that? Look at, let's remember that Jesus Christ is the center, source, and basis for our joy. There's a lot of things that maybe hobbies or habits that we think will produce joy, but in the end, there's nothing like the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ offers. And we'll see in a minute why. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. We'll have to hurry a little bit tonight. Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. The Bible says in Romans 5:11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Joy comes through Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Hey, your account's been paid in full. That ought to produce some joy. What was it that changed from the conversation at the beginning to the end of with those disciples? He expressed something to them. He told them about repentance. He told them about the death, burial, and resurrection. That produces joy. Victory over sin. Victory over death. There was an interaction here that produced true joy. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24 and verse 53, I'll read it to you. And they continuing, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. They stuck around and just worshiped. In John chapter 15, please turn there. True joy tonight. Sophia was making cookies today. What did you make? Butterscotch. Yeah, they were like chocolate chip, but instead of chocolate chip, she put butterscotch in. That's, if joy had a smell, it would be that. You walk in and go, oh, that's wonderful. I had something better than that. John chapter 7 and verse 14, verse 11. John 15 and verse 7. John 15, 7. Say, what happened? I don't know. It all got confused up top. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Do you see the... It's kind of like Luke. It was the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As Father hath loved me, as I have loved you, continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, look at now, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. God says, through Christ, I can fill you with joy and it'll stay. See, the world has pleasures that it offers us. I'll give you a moment of happiness at a great cost, but it won't last. Even sin, the Bible warns us, sin is pleasurable for a season. Jesus Christ says, I can offer you to be full of joy and that it remains. How great is that? Look at John chapter 16 and verse 22. It says this, and ye now therefore have sorrow. Is that true? Life sometimes produces sorrow. But I will see you again, he says, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy, look at what he says, and your joy no man taketh from you. He says, I have something for you that will remain, that will be full, and no one can take it. Joy. What's the problem with filling your car up with gas? Well, the minute you leave, it's going down. Wish there was a way. God says, I have something to offer you through me. It's through the atonement, he says. And it'll be full, and it'll remain. And the Bible says no man can take it. Hey, he's talking, these are the last moments of his life. Look at Psalm 126. Psalm 126. If you want to experience the joy of the Lord, I recommend you get in on serving him. Serve him. Psalm 126 and verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hey, your service to the Lord Jesus Christ, although it may be difficult, although there may be, as we saw in John chapter 16, some sorrow attached to that, but in the end, it's joy. So why am I miserable? What was the last thing? How's your service to the Lord? Do you serve him? Hey, if you're trying to get everything you can out of this world, you're going to be empty. I promise you. Which brings us to our last point. Our first point was the interaction. The second point was the service. Our third point, which now 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He was explaining that in John chapter 16 to the disciples. He says, I'm going to be gone, but I'm going to leave you with something. I'm going to give you a joy that'll remain, that no man can take. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Nope. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look at verse 1. We'll read the 6 verses, then we'll be done. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction. Hey, joy doesn't mean there's a lack of sadness, a lack of sorrow, a lack of difficulty. If you come to the Lord and say, Lord, my life has been tough, yet that's why I don't have any joy. Paul served with joy, and he went through, ever read his list? How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. See, we don't correlate those two things. We don't correlate affliction and joy together. And their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. And to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift. See, this group of people financially was in deep poverty, yet they still gave. They were suffering affliction, yet they still had joy. And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. That's where it starts. God hears me. Do with me what you will. See, when he gets you, he gets everything. And unto us by the will of God. Look at verse 6, insomuch as we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in the same grace also. True joy, number one, is rooted basis. It is founded, it is only found through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more fellowship you have with Christ, I almost feel like there's more joy. The more you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, there's more joy. He says, I can fill you with that, and I can make it so it remains, and no one can take that. And then we come to this thought, giving. Giving not because it's deserved. Giving because it was a joy to give. The abundance of their joy. It started with themselves. We associate joy with receiving. That's where we got it all wrong. I do believe that there's a verse that says it is more blessed to give than to receive. So just look at your life. Have you interacted with the Lord Jesus Christ? Has your path crossed with Him? Are you saved? Because outside of Christ, there's no joy. Are you serving? Are you giving? So you're trying to get money. I'm not trying to get anything out of you. They gave of themselves to the Lord. Have you made yourself available to God? God, use me however you will. Unfortunately, the world produces some pretty miserable people. What a blessing to know the truth and the true source of joy. We don't have to chase something that's empty and hollow. We can seek after the thing that'll truly satisfy our heart. But it's got to be a choice. It doesn't happen by accident. Let's all stand. True joy.